My life vest is on, and that turns me on.
Yeah.
So good. We're so good.
Okay.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, your beyond sausage eating, pink champagne listening, sleep anxiety warrior friend.
And I am Bethany, your quilt mending, spooky podcast listening. I have a bloody handprint gel cling on my window as decoration for Halloween, friend.
Okay. And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about...
I'm talking about the history of the pumpkin spice latte.
Yay!
Because last week, Kathleen, we decided that we would give each other the topics for the week.
Indeed.
And so you asked me to research that history, and I have it for you. What about you? What are you talking about this week? As if I don't know.
Yeah. And I'm talking about the topic that Bethany picked for me, which is how Eisenhower, as in President Eisenhower, had a conversation, actually multiple conversations, with the aliens.
Yes.
The aliens.
Yes. Yep. Yes. And this is a big conspiracy theory, or if you're my father and me, fact.
Fact. It is fact. I fell into a deep hole. I was like Alice in Wonderland level deep into this hole, and it was bonkers.
I'm very excited. Kathleen, how was your week? How was your weekend? It's a Monday.
Yeah, it's a Monday. It's Labor Day. Happy Labor Day, everybody. Thank you so much for everyone who reached out and listened to our special Labor Day episode. What's your job?
What's your job? Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. People were really pleased with your very saucy jingle that you wrote for that. And I think that we should have an episode where we just write jingles for one another and just go back and forth and play them.
I think that's a great idea. Let's do that next week.
Best idea ever. So we were supposed to record on Friday, and I was having some major sleep anxiety problems, and Bethany was kind enough to give me a couple days before we recorded this episode.
Of course.
And I have to say, gentle listener, if you are out there and you're having trouble sleeping, cancel all of your plans for at least 3 days if you can, or cancel as much as you possibly can, and take some Advil PM, which is what I took, and just go to sleep. Go to sleep, because it helped.
What was keeping you awake? Was it just like stress?
Secrets of the universe, Bethany. I have no idea. You know, like, do you ever get that way where you just can't sleep for a couple days in a row for no reason at all?
It's seldom, because I feel like sleeping is my talent. It's like the one thing I'm really good at is sleeping and napping. But I know that a lot of people in my life go through that, where it's just like for one reason or another, they just can't sleep.
Yeah.
And sometimes you do just have to take something.
Take a little PM.
Are you feeling better today?
Yes, so much so.
Good.
I have a recommendation for you and Dennis on Netflix.
Okay.
Have you seen this pop up in your feed yet? It's called I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
No, what's it about?
Oh, it is.
Is it a relationship show?
It's kind of like a relationship. It is in the style of, what was that movie with Jim Carrey and...
The Mask?
No, the one from Titanic, the girl from Titanic. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh, okay.
It's sort of in the vein of that. It might actually be from the same director. I'm not bringing a whole lot of facts to this conversation right now. It's really weird. It's really trippy. Like, smoke some pot, or like pour yourself a drink, or like, I don't know, how does Dennis like get fake high? I don't know. Just like do some jumping
CBD.
Jacks.
CBD. He gets like relaxed on CBD. Yeah.
Yes. And watch it, because it is trippy as hell.
What's it on Netflix?
On Netflix. Yeah. That's my recommendation for today. Yeah.
My recommendation is all of X-Files is on Hulu. So binge yourself some X-Files. I forgot how good the show was, especially the first few seasons when things were like funny and happy. Things got real depressing near the end, but it's a really fun, wonderful, lovely show. And David Duchovny is so funny. Yeah. I forgot how funny he is.
I really liked him in Californication. Didn't they try to bring the X-Files back with just
Gillian Anderson.
Yeah, and then it didn't do so well or something like that.
Yeah, he was off of it at some point. I did hear a story, and I still don't know if it's true or not, and I haven't bothered to verify it, that they're coming out with a cartoon called X-Files Albuquerque, and it's about like the cases that are not mysterious or important enough for Mulder and Scully to look into. And so, like, these other low level, like the B team.
That's the team I identify with. No matter what I do in life, I'm always on the B team.
I remember at our old show, people were split into tiers of A, mm-hmm. A team, B team,
yeah,
C team.
It made everyone feel really good that wasn't in the A team.
I don't know if it was official or not, but that was interesting. Can I tell you what I did that I'm really excited about?
Of course.
I signed up to be an Election Day worker.
Oh, and that's wonderful.
Yeah, so it's really easy. You just Google, how do I be an Election Day worker? And then put your city in, I guess.
Yeah,
and
like, yeah, there's, yeah.
And you fill out this thing online. My current status is unverified. Mm-hmm. So it's like, the statuses are like incomplete, unverified, pending, and then like you're hired. So I'm currently unverified, yeah. And then hopefully I'll get pending soon, and then hopefully I'll get hired to be an Election Day worker, because yeah. I've just always wanted to – I think I'm really good at handing things to people and pointing.
Yes.
And you that's are. The job I signed up for.
And you know what? This year more than ever, let's take a moment to remind all of our listeners, you gotta vote this year. Please vote.
Yes.
Vote only once, because that's yep. the legal way to do it.
That's the legal way. And I think, has this shown up for you, Kathleen, when you log on to Instagram?
Yes.
Has Instagram been like giving you a chance to like apply to vote?
Yes. Instagram is like, check to see if you're registered, because if you're yeah. not, they, I think they'll sign you up or something like that. Like you just put yeah. in some information, which I think is
yeah.
amazeballs. Thank you, Instagram.
Yeah. Totally worth mm-hmm. it. Anything else that you've been watching or loving?
Let's see. I'm looking at my list. Okay.
What's your list?
I have to tell you, Bethany, you have sort of... You've sort of like indirectly hypnotized me, because many episodes ago, you were like, if you can't sleep, check out the Rain Rain app. And I've been using it every single night to just listen to. I think my combination is forest rain. It's like rain and forest sounds.
So nice.
It's like a stream in the forest.
Peaceful.
And so I put in my wireless earbuds or ear pods or whatever, and yeah. I go to sleep with that playing every single night. But now when it rains, all of a sudden I start to get really sleepy. And the other day I was driving and I was like, oh shit, like I gotta get home fast, because I'm about to fall asleep at the wheel, because it's like this like psychological thing now.
It's amazing how we inadvertently train ourselves.
Yeah.
I can't read without falling asleep now, because it's how I fall asleep.
Really?
So I now get 2 sentences into a book and I start to fall asleep. And I've been reading the same book for 3 months and I'm not even halfway through it, because I just start to fall asleep every time.
Well, if we start an official Acquired Taste book club, you're in trouble. You better start listening to the books on Audible like me.
I don't know.
Oh, can we talk about OnlyFans, fans only for a second?
Yeah, yeah.
What's her face? What's the name of the actress who just claimed she made $1 million on this new app,
Bella Thorne.
Bella Thorne. Is it called yeah. OnlyFans?
Yeah, OnlyFans.
In one day, she made $1 million, she's
yeah.
saying.
Allegedly.
This new app. So I got an email like, hey, Kathleen, thanks for signing up for OnlyFans. And I was like, what the what the Chinese conspiracy theory hackers are they trying to get into my email? I'm not clicking on this link, because I didn't sign up for anything. But apparently it's this app where you do naughty things and then people subscribe yeah. to your channel. And I mean, it's actually kind of like a very interesting way to make money. But
yeah,
if we had one for the podcast, what would we do?
I mean, you know, by and large, it's for like sex work, right? And I'm actually pro this app as much as I know about it, mm-hmm. which isn't a ton.
Yeah.
But it's like a safe way for sex workers to get income, right? Like they don't have to, especially right now.
Yeah.
They don't yeah. have to meet people in person. Like they can do webcam work. So I think that's cool. There's some hullabaloo because Bella Thorne, like when she started and she then got the, like all of this money, allegedly.
Yeah.
Then OnlyFans really cracked down on like how much money you could bring in or what for a certain tier. And all of these sex workers were saying, hey, Bella Thorne, like you actually really screwed things over for us, because yeah. now we're getting cracked down on when you were the one who like got all of this cash.
That's
so
really
so it's really interesting. Yeah. Bella Thorne was saying that she was trying to like destigmatize sex work, which I think is a good thing. But sucks.
It's sort of interesting because a lot of sex workers, when they do stuff online, their videos are pulled and stolen and shared and they don't make any money for it. So it's really a very good way to support like the particular people that you're interested in. Listen, if Macaulay Culkin had if he had a fans only app, I would 100% sign up for that. Like I would like to see Macaulay Culkin doing some naughty things, wouldn't you?
Wait, do you have a thing? I never knew you had a Culkin thing.
I mean, like,
a Culkin crush?
I kind of like a crush on all the Culkin. I'm just like more interested in their strange names.
Like, are you Macaulay McCrushin?
I'm like, I am Macaulay McCrushin. I mean, tell me you wouldn't pay $5 to see him do something naughty.
I mean, I can't say Macaulay is not my favorite Culkin. I think
Kieran
is probably the greatest Culkin for me. I think if it was maybe like Jeff Goldblum or like if Keanu had an OnlyFans, I would probably pay some cashish to watch Keanu do some stuff.
He should do this and raise money for charity. 5 minutes of him without a shirt on. That's it.
I don't even care if he has a shirt on or not. I would pay like $20 to watch him pet a dog. Mm. And just like be super wholesome and pet a dog for, you know, 10 minutes. I would pay for that.
Recite Robert Frost poetry while petting a dog while drinking a cup of chamomile tea.
Oh my God. I would. I would pay for that.
All right.
I don't know. Oh, can I tell you, I'm in a really good place today. I'm in a really good mood.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I got into this good mood by listening to Kathleen, you know, the best song ever.
Okay.
Deepest, bluest. My hat is like a shark's fin.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's the best song ever. And I highly recommend it to anybody who is in a glum mood. Came out in 1999. You know, it's a hit.
Will you just sing us a few bars?
Yeah. Deepest, bluest. My hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest. My hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest. My hat is like a shark's fin.
Can I pause you?
Deepest, blue.
Yeah. Can I stop you there for a second?
Yeah.
Discovered an amazing song this weekend. Totally by accident. And that is because my mom and I were taking turns playing songs that we liked on the Amazon. And we really like this group called Pink Martini. But my mom got confused and she's like, hey, play Pink Champagne. And up comes this song by this artist I've never heard of. His name is Nick Lopez. He has a song called Pink Champagne. It is a bop, or as the kids say, slaps, or like whatever.
It slaps.
It slaps.
Wait, should I pull it up?
It is so good. I mean, I don't even know if there's like a hook that is good enough to play on this podcast, but such a good song. Nick Lopez, Pink Champagne. It's like about this girl he sees in a club, and it's like really upbeat, and I identify with it because I like Pink Champagne.
Hold on. Is this a song?
Uh-huh.
All right, let's get to it, Nick.
And that sangria, yeah. Babe, it's too true. Every guy up in this club is looking at you. I know I'm a little shy and ain't got tattoos.
This is lovely.
But I'm gonna try my luck and holler at you.
It's got the same vibe as Pink Martini.
Yes.
You got that big, big bubble butt. Better keep my mouth shut. I'll just watch you do your thing. Sipping on that pink champagne.
This is a good song.
Right? It's such a good song. So I didn't mean to interrupt your deepest bluest. My head is like a shark's fin.
I mean, look, nothing is ever going to be as good as deepest bluest. No. In parentheses, my head is like a shark's fin. But like, good on Nick Lopez. That's a good song. It's no LL
Cool J
rapping from the perspective of a DNA, you know, upped shark. Okay. But it's good. It's a good song.
Close us out, Bethany. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. In the background, Kathleen, to set the stage, he has a full symphony in the pool with him and also some opera backup singers. So you have to go, oh.
Okay.
Oh. Okay, ready?
Got it. Ready?
Okay.
And
deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin.
Hey, Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
Getting in shape doesn't have to be about losing a specific amount of weight or, you know, reaching that magic number on the scale. It's about building healthier habits and feeling better about yourself. And that is why I like the Noom app, because everyone is different and Noom adjusts to your lifestyle and it teaches you the psychology behind the decisions you make and it helps you keep track of everything from workouts to steps to analyzing your diet and recommending healthy recipes for you.
For me, wanting to, you know, be a little bit more more aware of the food I'm eating or wanting to be a little bit more active in my lifestyle, it is all to do with my mental health. If I'm moving around, if I'm eating food that's good for me, I feel better mentally and I have fewer total emotional meltdowns.
My favorite thing about the Noom app is that when I log in, I get to answer questions about myself.
You get to talk about you.
I get to talk about me. And it just feels like I'm taking 10 minutes of me time every single day to, you know, just take note of how many steps I got that day or if I was moving my body enough and stuff like that.
Kathleen and I are against labeling food as good or bad, right? And Noom feels the same way. Noom teaches you moderation and can be used in conjunction with many pre-existing meal plans if you're eating a certain way or you're eating certain types of foods. Plus, you are human. There's no guilt. So if you go off track, there's no shaming. Noom just gives you tips to help you get back on track tomorrow.
Listen, taste buds, you don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. So sign up for your trial today at Noom.com/taste.
That's Noom.com/taste. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/taste to start your trial today.
That's Noom.com/taste. Noom.com/taste.
Kathleen, let's talk about the pumpkin spice latte.
Yay!
Because we are in the spooky season, things are getting a little bit spookier and cozier and spicier and pumpkinier.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this very accurate historical depiction of how pumpkin spice came to be. And Bethany, I'm very proud of you for embracing your basic bitch.
You know what? I was thinking about something that my sister said because when the whole what was the name of the girl who loved her aluminum straws and she loved her Visco girls.
Oh, yes.
When the whole Visco girl thing came out, I was talking to my sister about it and she was like, yeah, it's just another opportunity for people to find a group of women to make fun of. And it sort of made me realize that I had fallen into the same trap with quote unquote basic bitches. Like it's just another group of women to lump together and decide we don't like. So I need to stop that.
I'm a basic bitch. Like I'm 75% basic. Bitch. 75% weird ass bitch. And you're still friends with me, so I think it's okay.
I love you a lot. I love you an awful lot.
Thank you. Right back at you.
You're one of the closest friends I have. You're the only person that I would be fully naked in front of besides Dennis. And even that I get filled with shame. So like
I would be fully naked in front of you. I would.
Thank you.
Because I know that you wouldn't pass judgment on me.
Hell no.
No, you wouldn't.
Absolutely freaking not.
Nor would I pass judgment on you. I just like, whatever, it's a body.
Thank you.
I mean, you're no Macaulay Culkin, but you know.
I would have to pay people on OnlyFans to be my OnlyFan. Okay, so let's talk about the history of the pumpkin spice latte, Kathleen. It's important and it is a part of an American history.
Thank you.
So first, let's talk about the pumpkin. Mm-hmm. The pumpkin is original to North America, and it's one of the world's oldest domesticated plants, which I didn't know. Pumpkins have been used in indigenous cooking for centuries, and one type of pumpkin is actually traced back to Mexico as far as 7,500 years ago.
Holy mackerel.
The first evidence of pumpkin pie-like spicing, because that's essentially what the PSL is it's like all the spices that go with it.
Yeah.
Appeared in what is widely considered to be the first U.S. cookbook from 1796 called American Cookery.
That far back.
Yeah. A woman named Amelia Simmons wrote down a recipe for a pie that she called pumpkin, P-O-M-P-K-I-N.
Okay.
And it had sugar, mace, nutmeg, and ginger in one version and molasses, allspice, and ginger in the other.
That's crazy. You know, pumpkin pie should be considered one of the founding fathers of this country.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's indigenous. Most of us aren't.
Sandra Lee should sign the Declaration of Independence retroactively.
Nobody doesn't like the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
But here's the interesting thing. Pumpkins used to be shorthand for someone or something that was rural, poor, or simple. So think about stories. Cinderella's ride to the ball was made out of a pumpkin. Her coach was a pumpkin. And then the same pumpkin plonks down when the spell is over, and Cinderella has to go back to being a servant. When Ichabod Crane, stupid, gullible Ichabod Crane, was chased through the woods in New England, he was chased by a boogeyman that had a pumpkin head. The slang pumpkin eater was slang for someone dumb and uneducated. So Peter Pumpkin Eater, he wasn't literally eating pumpkins. He was stupid. He had a wife. He could not keep her. And then he put her in a pumpkin shell.
Yeah, he wasn't smart enough to keep his wife.
Yep, yep.
How interesting. I never really thought about any of this.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. So It wasn't until, you know how things cycle around, and like right now people are really getting back into homespun, making their own, like canning their own stuff, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
This happened in the late 19th and early 20th centuries.
Okay.
All of this nostalgia for the old America when everyone was, you know, growing their own food and doing all of their own stuff. This nostalgia brought pumpkins back in. And so people suddenly loved pumpkins again.
So for those who are stupid and can't figure out when you identify centuries by their numbers, like.
So the number of the century is one above what the year is. So for example.
I know, but you say that, but then my brain can't compute. Like I can't really tell the time on a regular clock anymore.
Yeah. Sure. So for the 19th century, that's the 1800s.
Okay.
And then the 20th century is the 1900s.
Got it. Okay. Got it.
And the way I remember that is because the first century, we would start counting the years from like one. Mm-hmm. So then by the time we got to 100, we'd mm-hmm. be in the second.
Gotcha.
Right? Because we started from zero.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's fast forward, Kathleen.
Okay.
It's the year 2003.
Yeah.
Hey Ya by Outkast is on the radio. Beyonce's Crazy in Love is on the radio.
Yeah.
Women be wearing thongs and super low-rise jeans. Mm-hmm. Dudes are wearing fedoras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The zippers on my pants were half an inch long.
Yep. And basically non-functional.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant had just broken the NBA record for the most three-point field goals in a single game, which I definitely thought field goals were just a football thing, but apparently basketball also has field goals.
No, I thought it was like a three-point shot.
Right. Sports. I don't understand sports ball. Sports, so yeah. This is what's going on. So 2003, there's a man named Peter Dukes, and he was a product manager at Starbucks. Mm-hmm. Now, Starbucks had just been super successful in launching their seasonal peppermint mocha that past holiday season. Mm. It had done amazingly well. So Starbucks wanted to see if they could do the same thing with a fall drink.
Okay.
Peter Dukes and a bunch of developers gathered together in this super secret room at Starbucks Seattle headquarters.
I imagine like the president showing up, like, let's talk about this.
Yeah, we have to talk about seasonal drinks. And they called this room, it was on the 7th floor, the liquid lab. So all of these developers came up with about 20 potential latte ideas. And then they asked consumers which one sounded good. And the one that was based with pumpkin and spices didn't really stand out. It sort of ended up in the middle of the results. Chocolate and caramel flavors were vastly ahead. Those were the super popular ones.
Yeah.
But because they're a corporation, Starbucks decided not to listen to their consumers. Mm. And instead, they narrowed down those 20 flavors to 4 flavors. Mm-hmm. They were going to mock these up, present these to the higher-ups, and decide which ones the higher-ups liked. Mm-hmm. They included the pumpkin flavor in one of those 4 because they were like, there's nothing else that has pumpkin right now. Like, this is a really special idea.
And bless the good Lord, they did just make that decision.
Yes. So there actually was a pumpkin flavored latte at the time. There was a coffee shop called J.L. Hufford Coffee and Tea Company in Indiana, and they had done like a pumpkin spice thing, but it wasn't super widespread. Mm. So the company experimented. They did different combinations of pumpkin to spice, and they ultimately decided on a recipe that had 0 pumpkin in it.
Well,
but if you think of it, like, pumpkin doesn't have a super strong flavor. It's more of a texture.
Yeah.
The original recipe was pumpkin spice sauce with cinnamon, clove, and nutmeg with espresso and steamed milk, and then you put whipped cream and pumpkin pie topping on top.
Yeah.
They came up with the name pumpkin spice latte because it had a cozy vibe and it also described what was in the latte.
Yeah.
And in fall of 2003, they tested it in Vancouver and Washington, D.C. first.
Wow.
And it sold out. People freaking loved it. They could not keep up with demand. Like, Peter Dukes would call into all of these different Starbucks stores and they would be like, we've run out. People love it. And he was like, they could not believe how well this drink was selling.
Yeah.
So Kathleen, in the fall of 2004,
okay,
which is also when I started working at Starbucks.
Oh, really?
The pumpkin spice latte came out nationwide and it sold like bedazzled shirts at a Ghost Adventures convention. It was so freaking popular.
Bethany, you are one of the pioneers of the pumpkin spice latte because you were working for Starbucks that year.
I was. And I remember that the pumpkin spice syrup came in this bottle and it had a different kind of pump than the other pumps we used.
Okay.
And we would always joke about the consistency because chai was like a liquid. You couldn't push the pump down too hard. It would spray back in your face. Mocha was pretty thin and easy. Pumpkin spice was a little thicker and it took a little bit more work. But the white mocha sauce, you had to basically stand on the pump to get the white mocha out because it was so thick and hard to push. So
it's a good workout.
It was a good workout. Your arms got real ripped. So after 2004, this is when the pumpkin spice trend started. This list is nowhere near exhaustive, Kathleen, but here are some pumpkin spice products that were directly inspired by Starbucks.
Okay, hit me with it.
McDonald's McCafe Pumpkin Spice Latte. Umami Burger's Pumpkin Spice Latte Burger.
What?
The Pumpkin Spice Latte Hair Color.
Okay.
Buffalo Wild Wings had a pumpkin ale sauce for their chicken wings. Spam launched pumpkin spice canned meat.
Oh, no.
We also have pumpkin spice frosted mini wheats, Keebler fudge stripes pumpkin spice, Blue Diamond pumpkin spice almonds, pumpkin pie spice Pringles, Cedar's all natural pumpkin spice hummus, KFC pumpkin and feta twister, pumpkin spice latte M&Ms, Kashi pumpkin spice latte flax granola bars, pumpkin spice Twinkies, Trader Joe's pumpkin O's cereal, pumpkin spice Peeps, 7-Eleven has a pumpkin spice latte in their latte machine, Dunkin' Donuts has a pumpkin spice latte and pumpkin coffee, pumpkin spice Oreos, pumpkin butter, Via Italian Kitchen pumpkin spice pizza, Nature's Basket pumpkin spice chicken sausage, Sprouts pumpkin pasta sauce, Sprouts pumpkin spice salsa, Clear Brand pumpkin spice sparkling water, Bath and Body Works pumpkin spice hand sanitizer, Fantasia pumpkin spice hookah tobacco, Super Salt Plus pumpkin spice fishing bait, Pumpkin Patch Pop Rocks. One grocery store's deli had pumpkin spice salmon.
Oh, no.
Well. Breath Palette Pumpkin Pudding Toothpaste. Pumpkin Spice Soap on a Rope. One DTQ Pumpkin Spice Beard Oil. Esprit Pumpkin Spice Dog Shampoo. Adams Pumpkin Spice Detail Spray for your car.
Okay.
Simply Beyond Pumpkin Spice Spray on Spice. You literally spray the spice onto your food instead of adding spices. Pumpkin Spice Cigarillos. CVS Pumpkin Spice Cough Drops. And our friends at Native Deodorant do a pumpkin spice scent on their deodorant.
They sure do.
And requested by our editor, Charlotte, pumpkin spice hard seltzer.
Oh, yes. That's delicious. That sounds good. But, you know, as I try to work my way through a list of all things pumpkin spice that I find in the grocery store, that's on my list.
So 4 weeks ago, Vive Hard Seltzer's Instagram page posted a picture of their new pumpkin spice spiked sparkling water. And the image said, yep, this is real. Go ahead, roll your eyes, take a sip.
And then take another sip and another because it's going to be goddamn delicious.
Yes. So if you live in Ohio, Kentucky, or Tennessee, they're rolling it out mid-September there.
Oh, man. I got to take a road trip now.
There's also an image floating around that Durex had created a pumpkin spice condom, but that was a Photoshop prank.
So I'm about to admit something that I don't want to admit.
Okay.
Have you ever had a pumpkin spice latte?
Yeah, of course.
You have? See, I've never had a true pumpkin spice latte.
What?
I've never had it.
What? Wait, Kathleen, what? How? Now? What?
I mean, I've had like the Starbucks one, like the full sugar, the full, like I've never, ever had it. I have recently started drinking the Starbucks, the cold brew with the pumpkin spice foam on top. But when it comes to like a pumpkin spice latte, I don't believe that I've ever had like the real original version because I don't like things that are too sweet and they do not make – every year I walk into Starbucks and I'm like, do you have a sugar-free version of the pumpkin spice latte? And they never do. Boggles my mind. Like what the holy blah, 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 blah. In the name of all that is good and spicy, Starbucks, like why don't you have a sugar-free version? So I've tried to recreate versions in my house with like, you know, Truvia and pumpkin puree, and it never works out.
Are you concerned about like calories, or are you just concerned about the sweetness level?
Yeah, I don't like things that are too sweet.
So one thing you can do is ask if they can put fewer pumps of the syrup in.
One pump. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to try that.
So like a tall, I think has, I'm trying to remember the thing. I think a tall has two pumps.
Yeah.
So ask for like one or a half.
Okay.
And that might.
I'm going to do that.
That might help.
You know, so I've never, but I've had other bajillions of pumpkin spice, other flavor things. I saw the Twinkies in the supermarket this weekend and I was like, Neil,
it's time.
Should we get them? And he's like, okay, we're not going to eat Twinkies. Like neither you nor I like Twinkies, but like maybe I do like Twinkies. I don't know. Like maybe I like pumpkin spice Twinkies better than the regular. I don't know.
You might. And also that, you know, the Twinkies last forever because they're not made of anything real. So you might as well.
Maybe if you like, I put them in the freezer, it'd be a good frozen treat.
Oh, shove a stick in them. Now you have a popsicle.
Yeah. Now, were you drinking the pumpkin spice? Were you like a pumpkin spice fan when you were working for Starbucks in 2004?
Yeah, because I was a chai girl. And so then I would add pumpkin spice to my chai.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, it was so good. I really, really love it. I'm very excited it's back.
Well, next time you go to Starbucks, you got to try the pumpkin foam over the cold brew. It's hella good.
I had no. How do they get the pumpkin spice in the foam?
I don't know, but I actually was able to make it with almond milk. Like I asked them, and the girl was like, yeah, I think I can do that for you.
Right on.
And then it was delicious.
Shout out Starbucks.
Yeah, hell yeah, Starbucks. The pumpkin spice pizza, that's something I'm interested in.
Yeah, so I'm trying to, I have what they put it. Okay, the pizza's hand stretched pizza dough is then topped with pumpkin pie filling and mozzarella cheese, which sounds awful. And then after it's baked, additional pumpkin pie filling is added on top.
Interesting.
I don't know how cheese goes with that.
I don't really like pumpkin pie.
Interesting.
But I like the idea of pumpkin pie. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes the texture really weirds me out.
It is an interesting. It's more of a mousse, almost like a whipped texture than it is a pie texture.
Like I love pumpkin spice ice cream. Like I am DTF pumpkin spice ice cream anytime. Anytime.
And for the pumpkin
spice. I'm looking at a recipe right now for pumpkin spice dessert pizza, which is maybe something I'm going to introduce this Thanksgiving instead of the regular pumpkin pie.
What's in it? Does it say?
It's the crust should be relatively thin. And then it says, eat this fresh. It looks like... Let me scroll down. You know what? It's like, you know when you're looking at a recipe and like they tell their whole life story before they get to the
gadget? I hate it. Stop telling me your story. I don't need to hear your story.
So it's a streusel topping. So it's butter, flour, oatmeal, sugar, pumpkin spice, and chopped walnuts. So that's what you put on top of the pizza, you know, sort of like top of a crumble or something. And then you do pumpkin spice icing, which is cream cheese, pumpkin puree, powdered sugar, pumpkin pie spice. And then you do more cream cheese icing on top of the pumpkin spice icing.
I would eat. I am DTF this.
Yeah.
Dessert pizza. I'm down to fuck this pizza.
So is the guy, the original guy who led the team, is he rich now? Is he rich?
Peter Dukes. I mean, he's probably rich because he's higher up in Starbucks. He still works for Starbucks. But I think that he doesn't own the rights to the thing because this is the case for most big companies. If you create something while you're there, the company owns it, not you.
Yeah.
So I think that he didn't get like paid specifically for it. I don't think he gets like any sort of money back from all this stuff.
I was recently reading that the guy who invented the like smiley face symbol, which is everywhere,
iconic,
he got paid $45 for it. That was it.
I think the same thing with like the Nike swoosh.
Really?
It's like they got paid not very much money because it's like it's your job to develop these things, and then if they go well, great, you get to keep your job, but they're not going to give you royalties because it was your job. So really quickly, do you remember the controversy in 2014 about there not actually being any pumpkin in the pumpkin spice latte?
I do, yeah.
Okay, so if you missed this, there was a blogger known as Food Babe. She was a controversial blogger because she's not
a nutritionist or anything.
A nutritionist. Yeah. She's a former management consultant. She has a degree in computer science. But she basically said in an article called "You'll Never Guess What's in a Pumpkin in a Starbucks Pumpkin Spice Latte Hint You Won't Be Happy." She focused on the use of caramel coloring, which had low levels of a potential carcinogen.
Yeah.
But it's generally recognized as safe by the FDA and also the European Food Safety Authority and Health Canada. She also said that like the pumpkin spice latte was mostly spice, no pumpkin, you know, all of these different things that she didn't fully understand the studies she was reading.
Yeah.
But as a result, Starbucks in 2015 changed their formula to include actual pumpkin and they removed artificial coloring.
10 years later.
Just basically to like make her happy. So.
Okay. So I have followed Food Babe before and I think I unfollowed her because it was just like, it was too much and I didn't believe everything she was saying. But that's a dark hole to fall into. And she's definitely not a scientist at all.
No.
She's still operating on YouTube and Twitter. Like she has a large following.
It's, you know, I don't follow her. I don't. But it is dangerous if you're reading studies and drawing conclusions based on those studies, but you don't have an understanding of that. Like if the studies are being written for people in that field, if you don't have that background, then you don't know how to interpret these things. And so you might be jumping to the wrong conclusions. So it's a little bit dangerous.
At the same time, I'm also grateful for people like her because it challenges companies in the food industry to do better work.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. No,
because
you're right.
If not for her, Starbucks may not have taken out that artificial coloring. So it's like, take these types of people and influencers with a grain of salt, but also be kind of thankful that eventually sometimes they do make positive change.
I mean, it is always good to have eyes on these, especially giant corporations like Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
So in closing, in 2018, Business Insider did an interview with Peter Dukes, the guy who created it.
Yeah.
And they asked him about how the PSL is now the iconic symbol of being basic.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, like the definition, a woman named Noreen Malone defined it in 2014. She defined it as the term that some women were using to describe other women who they didn't think had interesting taste, right? Mm. So Peter Duke said, people seem to have fun with the PSL. He said, if that's basic, so be it.
So be it.
So he's like, not angry about the reputation. He thinks that it's fun and, you know, people really enjoy it. Like the sales keep going up for Starbucks. They're making millions and millions and millions of dollars. So
I mean, every year more pumpkin spice products come out. Listen, I don't think it's about not having interesting taste. I think it's just about embracing things that you feel are cozy.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And
I get it. If you hate the fall for whatever reason, pumpkin spice is just something you're going to hate.
But
if you love the fall, pumpkin spice is going to remind you fall is coming.
I mean, why would you hate the fall? What is there to hate about the fall?
This is what I've realized. I need to stop yelling at people for not liking the winter. Because like for some people, like really awful things have happened during like, let's say Christmas. Mm. Maybe, you know, Christmas reminds you of a childhood that was really bad and you have bad feelings. So then when I come yelling at you, I hate it when people yell at me for not liking summer. So I don't get to yell at people for not liking winter.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, someone, maybe their parents divorced in the fall. And so now like the fall comes, it just makes them sad.
Yeah.
So I can't, you know, resent someone for not liking the fall. But that said, I freaking love the fall and I'm so excited it's here.
Maybe someone jumped into a pile of leaves and there was a bear trap in it and they just got cut in half. And then,
that's where that leg went.
You never know.
Kathleen, you never know.
You never know.
So cheers. You know what? When we're allowed to go out together again, I'm going to buy you a pumpkin spice latte with one fewer pumps.
Thank you.
You're going to really like it. I think you're really going to like it.
I look forward to it, Bethany.
And also with you.
Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen. My everything, my one true love, my darling, anything. What is it?
Oh my goodness, I love you so much, but not as much as I love Orate. I was having a conversation with a friend the other day and she was telling me about her ex-boyfriend who bought her this really expensive piece of jewelry from a really famous jewelry maker featured in the movie Breakfast at Blank. And she's like, listen, I asked him to return it because I wanted stuff from this company. Have you heard of it? It's called Orate. I was like, girlfriend, yes, I've heard of Orate. I freaking love Orate.
Orate is amazing. It's ethically made jewelry made in New York City, empowering women with the best jewelry options without sacrificing style. So it's these classic, beautiful pieces that you can afford. They're much more affordable than your normal jewelry retailer, but it's high quality. It's all real gold. So you're never going to have to take it off. You can shower in it. You can do sports ball in it. And you're not going to get those green rings around your fingers.
Yeah. And I can attest to that. I have these like really very simple, very beautiful little gold bar earrings that I've been wearing from Ori, and I never take them off. I swim in them. I shower in them. I never get any irritation in my ears unlike a lot of other earrings. You know, at the end of the day, you're like, oh God, I have to take these earrings out. Ugh.
Yeah. Not with Ori. Mm-mm. And for every piece sold, a child in need receives a book to further their education, which is great.
Have you been to their homepage recently? Oh my goodness.
What's the newest?
I'm really into these gold chain necklaces that people are wearing. They almost look like paper clips, like really sort of wide chain links. Orate has one that I'm just dying for. It's called the Large Gold Figaro Chain Necklace. And I'm like, Neil, it's Christmas, or my half birthday. My half birthday is closer to Christmas.
So for 15% off of your first Orate purchase, go to oratenewyork.com and use the promo code TASTE.
Now, I'm going to spell Orate for you. That's AURATENewYork.com/TASTE, and then also use promo code TASTE for 15% off.
One more time. That's oratenewyork.com/TASTE with promo code TASTE. I was talking to my therapist the other day, and she was saying that we have all hit sort of the maximum of what we can cope with right now. And yet, you know, we still have to keep coping because this pandemic isn't over. And that is why it's more important than ever for people to keep talking about what they're going through. But if you're not someone who has easy access to a therapist, or maybe you haven't thought therapy is for you, Talkspace is such a wonderful option.
Therapy has changed my life. I love how Bethany taught me to normalize therapy and be okay to talk about it. And that is why we are so excited that Talkspace is our partner, because Talkspace is a fraction of the cost of in-person therapy. And now Talkspace covers 40 million people for online therapy through their insurance providers or employers. Like, you can use your insurance to pay for Talkspace,
which is huge.
Yes.
Look, therapy doesn't have to be about all of your deep-seated mom or dad issues. It can be, because they're probably there, but it can also be problem solving. I often just talk to my therapist about how can I talk to somebody about this thing that's bothering me, or how can I discuss blah, blah, blah with my employer? How can I get rid of my anxiety at night so I can actually sleep?
Yeah.
Your therapist is there. You can get access to the support you need 24/7 with Talkspace. You can message your therapist anytime and get daily responses 5 days a week.
Talkspace believes that we all deserve to feel our best, and their mission is to make therapy affordable and accessible for all. And no matter exactly what you want to talk about, whatever your specific issue is, they have over 1,000 licensed therapists in over 40 specialties, so you can be sure to find the support that you need.
And the cool thing is, you may have access to a specialty through Talkspace that you wouldn't have where you live, because maybe you need someone who specializes in a certain kind of trauma or food-related issues, and that person doesn't work in your city. You can find that person on Talkspace.
We all need someone to talk to. Talkspace wants to give us the support that we deserve at a price that we can afford.
Match with your perfect therapist at Talkspace.com or by downloading the Talkspace app.
And don't forget, use promo code TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, at checkout for $100 off of your first month.
That's $100 off your first month at Talkspace.com, promo code TASTE.
Bethany.
Kathleen.
Let's talk about the topic that you picked for me.
Okay.
And that is history.
Nope.
History in quotation marks. Listen, just like we would start a medical segment, I would like to start this with a warning.
A warning?
Gentle listener, while Bethany and I believe that this is fact.
Fact.
A lot of people may not.
Okay.
So take what I'm about to say with a grain of historical salt, okay?
A grain of historical truth. Tell your children. Tell your children the truth.
Eisenhower talked to the aliens. Not once, but twice.
Twice!
Twice. So President Dwight Eisenhower, who they call Ike. I was like, Neil, why would anyone be nicknamed Ike? Apparently, it's like Eisenhower Ike. It's based on the last name. All the men in his family were called Ike. Whatever.
Feels like forcing it.
I may or may not refer to him as Ike throughout this article, but whatever.
That's fine.
I'm going to take you back. February 20th. 1954, President Dwight Eisenhower interrupted his vacation in Palm Springs, California, to make a secret night trip to a nearby Air Force base to meet with two extraterrestrial aliens.
So cool.
He disappeared for several hours one Saturday afternoon and even missed a scheduled public dinner. He was not seen again until late the following morning. He may also have just been visiting the dentist.
Okay, but who visits the dentist late at night and has to, like, interrupt a vacation? I get it if you chew on something and it busts your tooth out, but also probably not.
Probably not, but...
in the night, no.
That is what they're saying. Like, the official reason why he went to the desert, to this Air Force base, was to meet with a dentist. So let me tell you a little bit more. Just to make things more intriguing, that same night... the Associated Press reports this. They put out a headline. President Eisenhower died tonight of a heart attack in Palm Springs.
What? What does that mean?
2 minutes later, the Associated Press retracted this bulletin and reported that Ike was still alive. So it's kind of like, you know, what happened in Hawaii when there's going to be a bomb take shelter. That was just a few years ago.
Yes. Yeah, that was frightening.
Similar to that situation where they retracted it right away. I'll get into what exactly happened with the Associated Press later, but it's really weird. Aliens going to the dentist. The Associated Press is like, he's dead.
Yeah.
But indeed, he was alive. And he continued living until 1969.
Which is way past when they thought he had died.
In the decades since his death, his activities on that particular night, February 20th, 1954, have become fodder for a lot of strange theories about alien beings. And some facts are beyond dispute. Like, yes, he was on a golf vacation in Palm Springs. Palm Springs, by the way, an excellent place to visit right now if you can get there safely, because this hotel that I like staying at, that's usually about like $700 a night, recently was like, oh, get our rooms for $199 a night. And I was like, mother effer,
so
if only
cheap.
I could get so cheap. Anyway.
So cheap.
So they're saying that after dinner that night, he made an unscheduled departure from the Smoking Tree Ranch where he was staying. The next morning, he attended church services in Los Angeles. Los Angeles and Palm Springs are like 2 hours from each other. Plus, he's going into the desert. Like, this timeline is not adding up.
Would you say there's missing time? Would you say there's missing time?
There's missing time. It's not adding up, Bethany. It's not adding up. So spokespeople are saying that he had chipped his tooth while eating a chicken wing at dinner the previous night, and that's why he went. I mean, presidents, they're just like us. They eat chicken wings, you know?
Also, that's really specific. We know that if someone gives too many specifics, they're lying.
Yes. Yeah. No, you are correct about that. Because if you're trying to, like, if you come home and you've been cheating on your significant other and they're like, where have you been? Mm-hmm. And you're like, I was drinking Cosmos and eating and you just keep going on and on. And it's like, okay, eventually it's like,
you were lying. Yeah.
All right. He was meeting with the aliens. Let me tell you about these aliens. They were nicknamed the Nordics.
The Nordics.
People in UFO conspiracy groups, okay, right?
Uh-huh.
They nicknamed these aliens the Nordics because apparently they resembled Scandinavian humans.
Woo-woo!
Bethany, it's your people. Woo-woo! That it's like your alien people, right? Okay.
Yeah, they're tall and they're very difficult to read. Sometimes they're too... they just, everything has to be even. If you do something for them, they have to do something for you, but they're never going to like do anything out of the kindness of their hearts. They're Nordics.
No, they're Nordics. You know what, Bethany, that's like... it's like, did you do my research for me? That's exactly what happened. Okay, so basically these Nordic aliens, they traveled to the desert. They were on a flying saucer. They're from another solar system. The Nordics offered to share their superior technologies and spiritual wisdom with Ike if he would agree to eliminate America's nuclear weapons. So it's like, yeah, an eye for an eye, right?
Yeah, yep, totally. Tooth for tooth.
Tooth for tooth. One particular conspiracy theorist... he has a PhD. His name is Dr. Michael Sala, PhD.
I trust him. Totally trust him.
He is a former American University professor. Now, American University is very clear on this research on UFOs that Dr. Michael Sala has done. This should not be associated with them. This is his own personal research, and they don't want any of this associated with the university.
What, don't they love true history?
Apparently they don't. But Dr. Sala, more popularly known as a pioneer in the development of exopolitics, which is the study of institutions and political processes as associated with extraterrestrial life. This is the thing. This guy has a PhD.
Yeah, I trust him. It's a lot of work.
Okay. So the Nordic UFO people, the aliens, the Nordic aliens, they were afraid that America was going to blow up the world with nuclear technology. They wanted to keep the peace. And they were like, get rid of your nukes. Mm-hmm. Like, we can kind of see into the future and nothing good is going to happen with nuclear technology.
Sure.
Like, get rid of it. Ike was like, yeah, no. I mean, and rightfully so.
Did he say boy bye to the Nordics?
He said boy bye, B-O-I, mm-hmm. space, B-I-E. Mm-hmm. That is a quote from the Nordics
boy, bye.
In their records. Boy bye. So the aliens left with no treaty in place, but they returned the following year to a different Air Force base called Holloman in New Mexico, which is not that far away from Roswell. You know, the Roswell site of the alien crash. And they had more meetings. Subsequent meetings with Eisenhower.
They always come back.
They came back. So President Eisenhower, Ike, two meetings with aliens. So the second meeting took place further down the road, again in 1954. And this time, Ike reached a deal, but it was a different race of extraterrestrial aliens. Now, this race was known as the Greys.
Yeah, the Greys.
The Greys. So President Eisenhower's like, okay, let's reach a deal. I will let you capture Earthling cattle and humans for medical experiments as long as you bring the humans back home, return them safely.
And the cattle were pissed because it's like, what about bringing the cattle home safely? But they don't. Yeah. They quarry them, especially their ain use.
Yeah, so they could keep the cattle. Since then, since this deal that President Eisenhower made with the Greys, the Grey aliens, they've kidnapped millions of humans.
Yep.
Millions.
Fact.
Millions of humans. And apparently in February of 1955, approximately 300 people saw Air Force One land at Holloman Air Force Base and taxi back out to the end of the runway. Shortly after the plane landed, the pilot instructed the tower to turn off all radar while the president's plane was on the tarmac. And they think that this was another round of meetings because round objects that night were seen in the sky. And one of those round objects landed about 200 feet in front of the Air Force base.
Aliens. It was aliens.
It was aliens.
So do we know what we got in return for letting the aliens abduct humans and cattle?
No, we don't.
Because I heard it was the internet and iPhones.
You know what? I think it's a fair, that's a fair deal.
I think it's a fair, yeah.
Yeah. You know? So on top of that, in 1955 at this like third meeting, I guess, if you want to call it with the Grey, or the second meeting with the Greys, third meeting overall, President Eisenhower was photographed perhaps maybe shaking hands with a figure in front of one of the saucers, right?
Oh.
Okay. Now, let's wrap this into a recent segment I did called, I don't know, what was it? Exciting Science or like Strange News or whatever.
Yeah, Strange News Roundup.
Yeah, Strange News Roundup a couple of episodes ago where I talked about how the Pentagon recently put together a task force to like investigate UFOs seen in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that these two things are connected.
Look, I agree. I think there's some hinky shit going on, and you can quote me on that. I think that the government knows way more than they are telling us. I think that mm-hmm. we definitely have had interactions with alien beings.
100%.
And I think that, you know, Eisenhower, again, I just don't believe that in the middle of the night you go to the dentist.
No, no, you don't. For a chicken wing?
What are you doing in the middle of the night?
How much damage could a chicken wing possibly do in the middle of the night? You're going to drive out to the desert? Get the F out of here.
Also, why are you eating a chicken wing in the middle of the night?
I know. I'm like, you're presidential. Shouldn't you be eating caviar or some garbage like that? Come on.
Kathleen, exactly.
Respected author and former Pentagon consultant Timothy Good came forward in 2012, and he was talking about Ike's meetings with ETs, the extraterrestrials, and he confirms it. He's like, listen, there's a lot of evidence. Apparently, these beings, they wanted peace. They're afraid for the future of America. They're afraid that we were going to just keep having wars with nuclear weapons. And they were like, and also, we want to like have a relationship with you, but we're concerned about you. You know, like when your cousin is dating someone who you really don't like,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, listen, I love you, and that's the only reason I'm going to tell you this. You have to dump Steve. Like, he's a piece of crap.
Steve is the worst.
Steve is the worst.
Yeah, and you're the only one who's going to tell her, you know? Like, look, the whole family believes it, but you're the only one who's brave enough to say something.
Steve is developing nuclear weapons in his basement, and this shit has to stop right now.
He's going to blow everything up.
In the end, theory has it that Eisenhower signed a treaty with the alien race called Alien Greys. The terms of the treaty have been reported as follows.
Okay.
We would not be involved in their affairs, and they would not become involved in ours.
Okay, well, too late, because here they are.
They would help us develop technology.
Great. iPhones.
They would not make a treaty with any other nation on Earth. So exclusivity with America.
Uh-huh. Non-compete. Okay. I don't know if we can trust that, but okay.
I mean, non-competes, they always expire eventually.
Mm-hmm. 6 months or a year. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
3 months if you can talk them down.
Two, they could abduct humans for various experiments, but they had to give the names of all the people that they abducted after returning them home safely to, and I'll get into this, a special secret committee called the Majestic 12 Committee.
The Majestic 12. 12.
Okay.
12, 12, 12, 12.
And then the last piece of this treaty is that the public would never be informed, ever, that aliens existed.
I bet the government loved that part because they love not telling us anything.
I mean, listen, if I got one wish from a genie, would that wish be to have a tree that grew money? Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Would that wish be to eat calories without ever gaining a pound? No.
Really?
Though that does sound tempting. That wish would be to get a book with all of the governments, like everything that Russia, America, and England, and Germany have been hiding.
And China.
China and Japan.
And North Korea.
North Korea, Canada.
Canada.
Just because I think their prime minister is very attractive right now.
His is just selfies. His book is just pictures of him.
That is the book. That is what I want. Like, Bethany, wouldn't you want, would that be your one wish if you had a genie?
Oh, I think it would be, yeah. I think it would be like either unlimited cheesecake or government secrets. And it's 50-50. But yeah, government secrets would be great. I feel like the only government that I'm not afraid of is like South Korea. I think every other government.
They have great skincare in South Korea. Like, there's no way that they're dangerous.
I just bought an amazing foundation, SPF 40 plus.
Good music.
Great music.
K-pop, great music. Mm-hmm. BTS comes from South Korea.
You know,
I mean, listen, South Korea is not anything that we should be afraid of, ever.
Not that I'm aware of, but I'm mostly focused on our government and what they're hiding from us, like the aliens.
Like the aliens. So throughout the years, there have been more reports of UFO landings at Holloman Air Force Base. There have been documentaries made about Holloman Air Force Base as the site of alien landings. There have been tons of research done on this. The Eisenhower Library, however, denies all of it. They're like, nah, he needed a crown, bit into a whatever. But I will say that there is a very specific lack of dental records from the doctor that apparently worked on him to fix his tooth.
If he even is a real doctor.
Yeah. So Dr. Francis A. Purcell was apparently the one that fixed the porcelain cap on his upper central incisor.
Too many specifics, must be a lie.
But that doctor died in 1974, and his wife is like, I don't ever remember him telling me that he worked on the president. Like, maybe that's something that you would share with your wife.
I think so, right? Wouldn't you come home and be like, I'm sorry I had to leave in the middle of the night, Bertha, but I had to fix the president's tooth. She's going to wonder where you went.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the other perplexing thing about the Associated Press that we were just talking about, all they said was someone was fooling around and it went out by accident.
I doubt that highly.
How do you do that by accident? It's not like sending a tweet nowadays.
No.
Like, I just imagine like a lot of women in those like telephone rooms like and like calling all the newspapers like President Eisenhower is dead of a heart attack. How does that happen? It shouldn't.
Again, that's a really specific goof.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're going to send out a funny goof headline like President Eisenhower is dead, maybe, but from a heart attack is so specific that I feel like that's not the kind of goof you'd send out. You'd be like, "Lol, Ted, can you read this headline? LOL, butt stuff."
Yeah, butt stuff.
That's the kind of funny thing you'd send out.
So, let's do a little rewind for a second. Okay. In 1953, President Harry Truman, he gave up the Oval Office and passed it over to President Dwight Eisenhower, okay? Mm-hmm. He also passed over a hefty file containing top secret information about a project called Majestic 12. That is, that was that committee, that secret Majestic committee that 12, I was just talking
12,
about.
12, 12, 12.
The committee that gets all of the names of all of the humans that have been abducted. Majestic 12 consisted of a group of scientists, military personnel, and other government professionals who all work together to understand and communicate with UFOs and extraterrestrials.
12.
So I have to say, I'm going to wrap this up by talking about information that I found on the highly regarded source Wikipedia.
Okay.
About Majestic 12.
12.
The concept of Majestic 12 originated as a series of supposedly leaked government documents to a group of UFOologists in 1984. Now, that is, did you know that UFOologists was actually like a word? Like it's a profession.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
That happened in 1984. The FBI is like, this is bonkers. It's all bullshit. There's no documents. There's no Majestic 12. Like, 12. Get out of here. 12, 12, 12, 12, 12.
Yeah, they would say that.
Basically, the concept of Majestic 12 believes that there's been a cover-up of UFO incidences since Roswell, which predates like any of the Eisenhower stuff. Okay?
Sure, yeah.
And it speculates that there is a secretive upper tier in the United States government that is responsible for this cover-up.
Would you say it's like a shadow government?
It's a shadow government.
Yes.
It's a shadow government. I have to say that I was at a party this weekend.
Yeah.
And there was a guy in my friend group who brought his girlfriend, and a girl that we had never met before. And she's like, oh, so, you know, like, what do you do? What do you do? I was like, oh, I'm a podcaster. You know, very casual. She's like, okay, so what's your podcast about? I was like, well, this week I'm researching how Eisenhower talked to the aliens. And my friend perked up, my friend Greg. He's like, it absolutely happened.
Yes, it did. See, Greg knows what's up.
It absolutely happened. And then he goes on to tell me that I need to listen to this Joe Rogan podcast episode. It's 1375. It's with a guy named Bob Lazar.
Yeah, Bob Lazar. Bob knows what's up.
Bob Lazar, he says it's absolutely fascinating. Bob Lazar is giving all of this information about the Majestic 12. Bob Lazar used to work in the Pentagon, something like that. Listen, if you got to do a deeper dive into what's happening, but Majestic 12 pops up in pop culture all the time.
Yeah.
Apparently writers of TVs and movies are really into this. Most recently, the Majestic 12, the theory of Majestic 12 appeared in The Umbrella Academy on Netflix, which I keep meaning to watch. It's supposed to be really good.
I haven't watched it yet.
NBC TV series, Dark Skies, in the video game, Deuce X.
Did you take a Deuce X?
Did you take your Deuce X medicine? And then also in the 2007 movie Transformers, there's a secret organization called Majestic 7, something about Megatron and the Hoover Dam. It's just a nod to the Majestic 12. Now listen, UFOs have been on everybody's mind since the Pentagon came up with this task force just a few months ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So much so that Rolling Stone even released an article this year called How UFO Culture Took Over America, in which it refers to Bob Lazar on the Joe Rogan Experience, episode 1315. Listen, that's all I have for now. I'm saying I think it's true.
I am so happy. Kathleen, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
To this world of having your eyes opened. Mm-hmm. By the way, I think that an Elder Bush was in the Majestic 12. Like, you know, like there's W, then HW. I think HW's dad, I think, was reportedly in the Majestic. It's like his name is like Vannevar Bush. May have been in the Majestic 12. But anyway, I'm really excited that you're here with us. I'm really excited mm-hmm. that when you decide to have children, you can pass down this important knowledge to mm-hmm. them so that they will get an A in their history mm-hmm. class for sure. Mm-hmm. There's no way they won't get a lesser grade.
No. We're alien historians. Alien historians. That's what you and I are now, Bethany.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as the older generation dies off, it's our job
and
the job of you, gentle listener, to carry mm-hmm. on the truth, you know, to carry on the flame of truth and enlightenment.
I like how the Nordic aliens were kind of never mentioned again, but the gray aliens are the ones that like we mainly deal with.
Yeah, the Nordics are tough.
Blue-gray complexions, tight-fitting flight suits. That is how they are described as looking. And they always have a lookout. There's always like one at the door.
Got to.
While the president's talking to the other two.
Aren't they sometimes wearing capes too? Like sometimes they have fun little outfits.
Listen, I don't think that they've spoken to our current president, President Trump, just because there's no way that he wouldn't tweet about it.
Yeah,
there's
no, he can't be trusted.
He can't be trusted. Like, do you think that they're just up there biding their time? Like, okay, when is like the next president going to come?
Yes.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah. Or maybe there's like a high up mediator somewhere in the government that's like, listen, you don't need to talk to our leader in chief right now. You talk to me and then we'll make do until there's a new leader.
I think things are a little chaotic right now. And so mm-hmm. I think that even if they wanted to, it would be really hard to cut through the noise. Because I just think like there's a lot going on. from all reports, it's chaos right now. So I would say hold on till things chill out a little bit.
I mean, I'm going to start reading some of these conspiracy theory boards. I really am.
I'm just really excited that you've and because this is, you know, I don't believe in every conspiracy theory. And I think a lot of them have gotten really dangerous. But I do believe that contact has been made. And if you trust the documentary series, The X-Files, like there's a whole area where all of these different, you know, implants that have been confiscated and like the original alien that they have on dry ice, like it's now being held in just the storage facility. So, which apparently they allow smoking there because the guy who keeps putting things on the shelves, he's always smoking.
I would like to just end this with a reference to a popular phrase. You can't make this shit up. You can't. It's true. You can't make this shit up.
Literally no way to make this up. No one could just make this up. Who could? No one.
No one. I mean, the detail about the chicken wing, you can't make this up.
Well, they made that up because that was too specific, which is the proof that they made it up. But
so, that thing they did make up. But the rest of it, you can't make up.
You can't. You couldn't. There's no way. Mm-mm. Kathleen.
Yeah.
I am in a relationship with somebody who is very particular about the protein powder that he eats, which I know is kind of a strange thing to be really particular about.
Hey, listen, this is a no judgment zone. Like, whatever.
He's tried a million different protein powders. He loves Truvani. I brought it into the house because we're partnering with them. And he was like, oh my gosh, this is the best protein powder I've ever tried. It's all plant-based. So he's happy and it tastes delicious. So I'm happy.
Yeah. You know, I've tried a lot of plant-based protein powders over the years too. And when we partnered with Truvani, I was like, okay, let me look up the reviews first. The reviews were remarkable. There's like something like 3,000 reviews. Like most of them are 5 stars out of 5. And so I tried it and I was like, damn, like this chocolate Truvani is freaking good. And the blender with some ice and a little bit of almond milk, I really feel super satisfied after I've had it. Unlike other protein powders, I'm like, wow, I'm still hungry.
Truvani tastes so good and it's so good for you because the ingredients are simple and natural. There are 6 simple ingredients in the chocolate and 5 in the vanilla. There's nothing weird like xanthan gum or natural flavors because we don't actually know what those natural flavors are or other additives that people don't recognize. There's no like bird feather extract you know, mud. There's real stuff.
Sunshine oil. What's sunshine oil?
What the hell is that?
You can't milk the sun for oil. Get out of here.
I tried once and that was a mistake.
Plus, it's USDA organic and vegan certified. The plant-based protein in Truvani can help you with things like supporting your muscle growth and increasing your everyday energy. Truvani is the ultimate healthy fast food.
Get it?
Haha. Get it? Get what I did there? It's fast.
So today, Truvani has a special opportunity for you. Get a protein powder gift pack, including a full-size bag, your choice of flavors, for a full 50% off plus free gifts from Truvani.
This $99 value can be yours for just $29.99.
To get the full protein powder gift pack for just $29.99 plus free gifts, text TASTE to 64,000.
Again, text TASTE to 64,000 for this amazing offer from Truvani.
Text TASTE, TASTE, to 64,000.
Gentle listener, in all transparency, Bethany and I are recording this section 4, on a totally different day than we did the rest of the podcast.
and it's morning time, and it wasn't because of emergency. It's just, you know, sometimes you gotta do it on a different day.
And I feel like I'm recording this podcast in a way that I would never let anyone else other than Bethany see me.
Well, you look great. What's wrong with you?
You know when the doorbell rings and you're not prepared for the doorbell to ring and you're lounging in your underwear?
Every day.
You don't have a bra and you only have your underpants on. I had to throw a winter coat over my body the other day because I'm like panicking. I'm like, where are my clothes? Where are my clothes? Someone's ringing the doorbell. Like, who is it?
That's why I have many emergency caftans lying around just in case you have to throw something on and run. The UPS people, my mail delivery man, who's so sweet, and like the DHL guy have all seen my nipples because even if like if I'm wearing some sort of see-through shirt, if the mail comes, I'm just like, you know what? It's fine. And I run downstairs and I grab it.
Of course you have an emergency caftan. Of course you do.
Got to.
So I have a friend who was on a Zoom call the other day with her team, and 99% of the time there's no camera. And she's like, cool. Like, I don't need to get dressed up. I don't need to look presentable. And then her boss was like, you know what, guys? Just this one time, I would really like to see everyone's faces. I would have had a meltdown because I probably would have looked like what I look like now. But I literally would have refused to turn my camera on. Like, what would you do? Isn't it rude?
Wait, Their boss said that like right before the meeting, didn't give him a heads up.
In the middle of the meeting. The meeting had already started.
No, I would have freaked out. I would have said, you have to give me 3 minutes. And I would have thrown on some like eyebrow, you know, I would have filled in my eyebrows and like mascara and eyeliner.
Yeah. I mean, this is a medical team, like a medical professional team. And so it's not just like, oh, my coworkers that I bullshit around with. Like, these are people who actually do serious work.
No, that you can't do that.
No.
Is the boss a dude? Is the boss like a non-makeup wearing dude?
No, it was a lady.
No, you have to know. You have to give people a heads up. Because also, even if they don't care about makeup necessarily, they're probably wearing a Fun Run t-shirt from, you know, 2007 and their boobs are out.
Or, yeah, or like me right now, the dirtiest tank top that I own.
I'm wearing a leotard with, remember that leotard I bought where the slits, it's like a high cut in the hips.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have such a long torso, it stretched it and the cut goes up to my boobs.
Yeah.
I'm wearing that right now. Like,
it should be illegal. That boss should get a ticket and it should never happen again.
I agree. So Kathleen, because we're in the spirit of pumpkin spice and fall and all of that stuff, I have a quiz for you and you at home, gentle listener. Would you like to play?
Yes, please.
And gentle listener, play this with your coworkers as a team building exercise. It's called Candle Scent or Obnoxious Vegan Recipe.
Oh, yay.
Okay, great.
Wait, before we begin, did you see that TikTok video going around of people in the supermarket laying roses over the meat section because they're like giving funerals to all the animals?
Oh, no.
All the vegan people.
I love it. I would do that too. Okay, so Candle Scent or Obnoxious Vegan Recipe. First one. Pumpkin pecan waffles. Is that a candle scent or an obnoxious vegan recipe?
Obnoxious vegan recipe.
Nope. That is a candle. Pumpkin pecan waffles.
Oh, man. All right.
All right. Raw apple cake, grain free.
Oh, that's definitely an obnoxious vegan recipe.
That is an obnoxious vegan recipe. Next one. Leaves.
Okay, I want to say obnoxious vegan recipe, but I'm going to say candle scent.
You're right. It is a candle scent, although I also would believe it if I said that it was an obnoxious vegan recipe. Next one, vanilla sage.
Candle scent.
That is a candle scent. How about Swedish apple pie?
I'm going to go with obnoxious vegan recipe.
Yes, it is an obnoxious vegan recipe.
Ding, ding,
next
ding.
One, amazing applesauce.
Oh, candle scent.
No, that is an obnoxious vegan recipe.
Dang it.
Yeah, I know. Next one. By the way, one of these is so bad that it's literally just a slice of apple with like some sugar on it. And they're like, this is like a raw apple pie. And it's just a freaking slice of apple. Okay, next.
Yeah.
Blooming harvest.
Oh, candle scent.
That is a candle scent. Very good.
Yay.
Apple hand pie.
Obnoxious vegan recipe.
Obnoxious vegan recipe, correct. I don't know what a hand pie is, but this one has apples in it.
It's a pie the size of your hand.
Oh, yeah. Okay, right on. I would prefer it if it was like a Sweeney Todd, kind of like we cut up people, we put the hands in this pie. Now with more girls.
A little nutmeg to go with your fingernails.
Love. Strudel and spice. Strudel and spice.
Candle scent.
That is a candle scent.
Ah.
What about pumpkin spice tahini cookie?
Oh, that's, yeah. I mean, it's a cookie. Oh, you know what? Cookie could go either way.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this is an obnoxious vegan recipe.
It is, because it's like, why are you putting tahini in a cookie unless you're
vegan? No, tahini is delicious in all sorts of things. Hey, will you forward me that recipe, please?
Yeah, sure. You know what? I was thinking tzatziki.
Yeah,
which tzatziki is different.
That's like yogurt dip for cucumbers and gyros.
Yeah, which is delicious. Yeah. Last one, candle scent or obnoxious vegan recipe, sangria grapes.
Oh, man. Candle. Definitely candle.
It is an obnoxious vegan recipe. Basically, it's just grapes that they rolled in powdered sugar. So
sangria grapes?
Yeah.
And there's no wine involved? That's bullshit. That person should go to jail.
That's why it's an obnoxious vegan recipe. Like,
yeah.
You know, you can't just like make raw. You can't take something raw, put another raw thing on top of it, and then call it a recipe. Like,
yeah.
Some of these are more involved, but some of them are just really stretching. Like, don't tell me that... I hate it when food that is not a steak is labeled a steak. Like, don't cut a giant mushroom in half and call it a steak, because that's a mushroom.
Wait, speaking of things that are vegan, can I tell you that I had over the weekend the Beyond sausage? Have you had this yet?
Oh, yeah. I have. It's so good. Did you like it?
It is so beyond good. Like,
it is beyond sausage.
Beyond sausage. Yeah. So it's the vegan meat. It is so good. It tastes exactly like a sausage.
Can I ask you a cooking question?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So it comes frozen, obviously.
Yeah.
When it thaws, there's a casing around it.
Yeah.
Are you supposed to cut the casing off?
No. Because
it's like, oh, you don't cut. Okay.
No, you eat the casing.
So I did that wrong.
You can cut the casing off if you want to make like a meat sauce for a pasta, because then it like crumbles into the meat sauce.
Great.
But I started it in the oven and then I finished it on the pan, you know, to give it a little bit of sear.
Sure.
I bet it would be amazing on the grill. Like, so good.
Yeah, so you're supposed to let it thaw before you cook it. I don't, because that requires forethought. So I take out a pan and I put it on I don't use my oven. I just use my stovetop.
Yeah.
Closer in the oven. So I heat up my pan. I spray it down with whatever. And then I just like put the frozen thing on it and put a lid on it until it like thaws on all sides.
Okay. But then how do you get a sear on it? Like a nice little, like a sausage sear.
Well, by the time it's fully cooked through, it's burned on all four sides, which is the sear.
Oh, Bethany. Oh, gofen.
And then I cover it. And in the meantime, once I think it's pretty close, and I can tell it's close because the whole room smells like burning, I take pasta sauce, whatever's in a jar, and I throw it on top. So then the pasta sauce starts to warm up / sear as everything else around it is burning. And then I just like shove it all into a plate.
Okay. All right. Well, you should maybe try putting it into a hot dog bun. It's a little bit more satisfying because then you get the bread too and you put a little ketchup on that thing.
Then you have to plan ahead by having a hot dog bun.
Yeah. No, you're right. But you need to go grocery shopping more often.
I hate grocery shopping.
Do I need to come and give you like how to live lessons? What do you mean you hate grocery shopping? Whole Foods is my happy place. Do you go to Whole Foods?
No. Well, here's the thing. The closest Whole Foods is really far away from me.
Yeah.
And, you know, can't drive anywhere. No car. And I forgot, like, you know, there's like Instacart and stuff, but like I forgot that they once again have openings after, you know, the pandemic freak out. So I stopped ordering my groceries because there weren't any openings for deliveries. But then now there are. But then I keep forgetting.
OK, I have an exercise for you.
OK.
Next week, I want you to get a piece of paper. You write down like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the whole week. And then you plan what you're going to eat for lunch and dinner each of those days. And then find recipes and then get ingredients for each of those recipes and actually make things for yourself that taste good. I know you look overwhelmed right now.
So boring.
How is that boring?
Can I list all of the other things that I could do besides when instead of doing that? Here's what I could do. I could nap. Mm-hmm. I could watch the new Nexium documentary.
Okay.
I could take a sleep.
You said that already.
I could go for a walk. Uh-huh. I could, you know, eat those candy corn marshmallow pumpkins.
Nope, not nutritious.
For dinner.
Gonna give you a headache. Nope.
I could, you know, I could call my mom. I could sleep.
Oh, yes.
You know, I could like have a dance break.
Yeah.
I could listen to Britney Spears' Hit Me Baby One More Time like 27 times in a row. Or I could take a nap.
Great song. Still need to eat. Bethany, you still need to eat. This is not so bananas. I'm going to start delivering plates of lasagna to your house like nonas do to their grandchildren.
I would love that. Because also, what was I going to say? I completely forgot what I was going to say. Oh, really? I'm at the point where if pills were available, if you could take a supplement and that was your food, I would do that, because planning eating and like putting food together is really just such a pain in the butt. I would love to take a supplement and have that be my meal. I'd be so happy.
You're like my grandma in her 90s when no matter what state she was in, she just said she wasn't hungry.
Yeah.
Like, it just described all of her emotional state.
I'm just not into
it. Not hungry. No food. Okay. Yeah. All right, Bethany, you need to cook one recipe next week. Just make yourself one thing. One thing.
Okay. I will make myself one thing. You have to hold me accountable. Will you hold me accountable?
I will hold you accountable.
Okay. I will make a thing.
Cowboy burgers from Trader Joe's are like the best thing ever. And you can just toss those over a salad or like some pasta salad. Have you had a cowboy burger lately?
No, but I can't. There's no Trader Joe's that's near me either.
Okay. Well, see, listen, Missy. You always tout how you like to take long walks.
I do.
You got these long legs that you got to move. Well, put a backpack on that goddamn back of yours and walk your ass over to Trader Joe's and fill that backpack with goods.
Okay. Fine. I will.
Bethany, what'd you learn this week?
I learned that you won't let me wind my way out of anything. I learned that Rite Aid, if you're really into getting into spooky season, Rite Aid has a bunch of jar candles that are $2 each.
Ooh.
Which candles are normally really expensive. Yeah. And so I don't know why these are so cheap. But if you have a Rite Aid near you, which is, you know, where I do a lot of my grocery shopping, it's like a tiny little jar. How much does this hold? What is this? Like a half a cup?
What does it smell like? It
smells like, what's the lid say? Cranberry crisp.
Oh, what are the ingredients? Carcinogens. That's probably why it's
carcinogens.
So cheap.
Wait, really? It's a soy blend scented candle.
So what else is in there?
Candles don't list ingredients, do they?
Listen, I'm not like one of those people that buys really expensive candles, so I should not be making fun of you.
No, because it literally melts away.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, are cheap candles bad for you?
I don't know. I think candles in general are bad for you because they put soot in the air.
Oh.
It's kind of like living with a smoker, so that's why I don't light them all that often.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I know you light them all the time. I'm really sorry. I'm like yucking your yum right now.
Everything is against me today.
I know.
Kathleen, what did you learn this week? I learned that candles give you brain cancer.
I learned that if you have an easy pass,
which is like tolls in New York and New Jersey.
Yeah, like you put it in your car. Yeah, pay your tolls. Yeah. If your credit card gets stolen and then the number gets changed, update it on your easy pass ASAP.
Uh-oh.
Because I went a month and a half and I was like, oh, I'll get around to that eventually. And every time I went through the toll, it was like, please call Easy Pass or something like that.
Oh, no.
And so I finally logged into my Easy Pass account and a toll that cost me 50 cents, they were charging me $50 for. I had a bill of more than $300 because a correct credit card wasn't linked to my account.
Oh, no, Kathleen.
Yeah. That hurt. More than $300. Man, I was really sad that day.
And no one came and took your Easy Pass away from you?
No. Unlike you, because you sped through Easy Pass, you went too fast.
I don't remember why. Was that why?
Yeah.
A guy literally came out of the booth and took my Easy Pass away from me, and I never got it back.
Yeah, because you went too fast once upon a time, and they were just waiting for you.
Is that what it was?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Did you cry when that happened? I would have been like, give it back to me.
I was just like shocked. I said, you can't do this. And he was like, you got to give it to me. And so I did because I'm a rule follower. And then I just never had an easy pass ever again.
But then that's like when someone tries to milk you and they're like, put them up. And you're like, okay.
Okay. But yes, but I also like, who knows? What if, because first of all, if he did work for Easy Pass, then otherwise he was going to like call the cops on me. I don't know. And if he didn't work for Easy Pass and I stood up against him, he would have shot me.
See, I would have fought him. I would have gotten out of the car and started karate kicking. Give me my Easy Pass back, bitch.
Not worth it. Sorry, but Easy Pass is not worth getting shot over. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
At Webgirl Kathleen on everything. How about you, Bethany?
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter, Miss Bethany Watson on Instagram.
If you want to follow this podcast, you can do so on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group in there. They work miracles.
Yes, they sure do. If you want to send us an email, an acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
At the end of every podcast, we play your voicemails. And if you want to, you know, send us a text message or leave us a little voice note, our phone number is 917-994-0353.
We have a P.O. box. We're not the best at checking it because, again,
COVID
distancing and COVID and everything, but we are going to get better at that. P.O. box 1717 Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
Did we say Instagram? Did we say?
We did, but we do have an editor. Where can we find her?
Our delightful editor is the great Charlotte Gartenberg. And you can follow her on Instagram @lit_fuck.
And on Twitter @Shargar.
Oh, wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. Helps us move up in the ranks. Plus, leave us a nice review. Pretty please.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Ooh, that felt good. Ooh, my back cracked on that one.
Did it?
Damn.
Oh, I love a good crack.
Girl, you're working your magic.
Mm-hmm. And Taste Buds, this is what you had to say this week.
Hey, ladies. This is Brian. I am from Beacon, New York, which is right near New Paltz, where Kathleen is staying. And I'm just calling because you guys talked about Johnny Appleseed at the end of the last episode. And I actually know about that because I used to work at Angry Orchard Cider House. So Johnny Appleseed used to plant cider fruit trees, which are specifically apples that are better used in making alcohol because they're less sweet. As they ferment, they can kind of develop richer flavors. So Johnny Appleseed is known for planting alcohol, essentially. But also, he used to do this because There was some kind of law that I don't remember the name of, that any unclaimed land, you could claim as a landowner if you owned something that you planted on that land. So Johnny Appleseed also used to plant his trees to essentially claim land from people. So fun fact, hope you're having a great day and listen to the next episode.
I think I'm going to have to save the podcast phone number in my cell phone because it's getting tedious having to look it up every time. I just want to say, Bethany, I am so happy that you said Four Christmases is a documentary because it is.
Hey, ladies, it's Sam from Ohio. I was just calling because I'm on my way to set up my classroom for remote learning. And I heard the podcast today, and you were talking about Mambo Number 5. And this is going to sound kind of creepy because of the theme of the song, but it was like my grandfather's favorite song. But here's why. He would sing it, but like replace all of the names in the song with like his grandchildren's names and like talk about going to like just a fun party. It obviously was not like making us all strippers, but and so he would like walk around and be like, it's Sammy and so-and-so and so-and-so. It was just really cute. So anyway, every time I hear it now that he has passed, I always think that like he's around somewhere. And you actually shockingly hear Mambo Number 5 way more often than you think you would. So that's one thing that I just needed to tell you.
Hey, Kathleen. Hey, Bethany. This is Megan from Georgia. I am catching up on some podcasts that I've missed out on lately. And I got to the bonus episode where you were talking with Karen about all the Karen memes. And you were talking at the end, talking about substitutes, you know, what other names can be out there. And I had to laugh that the first one that you threw out was Megan. And I actually was kind of thinking about it because, you know, Megan's also there. I'm not sure if you know or if you watch Family Guy, there's a character on there named Meg, and they're always saying, shut up, Meg, shut up, Meg. So as a Megan, I have been getting that for God knows how long from my not only friends and friends of my husband and mine, but from my husband himself. If there's something going on or I say something, you know, remotely silly or maybe slightly stupid, it'll be like, all right, shut up, Meg.
Good morning, ladies, taste buds. I thought we'd have a little pre-coffee morning session of Conflict Corner Resolution. Conflict Resolution Corner? I'm not sure. Go back to the pre-coffee thing. So I got these new neighbors. New neighbors, yay! No, not yay. New neighbors, gonna burn their trash, gonna burn plastic and make a big black smoke, gonna light the freaking yard up like a stadium. We live in a quiet little dark mountain town where anybody who doesn't have Verizon, for the most part, doesn't have service, by the by. But yeah, let's make our backyard look like the local college stadium at night every night. And then this morning I wake up, and they've been doing construction at night. Yes, because we drill holes and hammer things by cell phone light because this makes sense, you see. And I wake up this morning and I come out, and all along the property line is just all these scraps of wood that they cut off the top of their fence and just let fall over onto my side. What to do? Because looking out my kitchen windows this morning at my lovely garden and then this scene of chaos strewn behind it, I just want to pick up every single cut 2x4 I see and throw it through their house windows. What would you do? Thanks for letting me know in advance. Lots of love, and I hope none of the rest of you have shitheads like these for neighbors.
Hi, Bethany and Web Girl Kathleen. It's your taste bud friend, Dominique. Web Girl Kathleen, I am so excited that you're listening to A Discovery of Witches by Deborah Harkness. I hope you have the second and third book, Shadow of Night and The Book of Life. The entire series is amazing. I know there's also a one-off about a character that you haven't met yet. If you're still listening to A Discovery of Witches, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, but you meet him in the second book, and he's also amazing. And of course, I don't remember the name of that book. But anyway, Matthew, Sexy Vampire. I love it. I hope you enjoy. I'm always sending you big, big hugs for you and Bethany, and I'll talk to you both later. Take care. Bye.